From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, July 17th. Coming up, we'll learn about the growing popularity of elderberries in the country and what that means for elderberry farmers. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Reverend Jesse Jackson says he's stepping down as president of the Rainbow Push Coalition. That's the Chicago-based civil rights group he founded more than 50 years ago. The 81-year-old Jackson announced his resignation on Saturday during a quiet farewell speech at the organization's annual convention. The convention also included a two-hour tribute to its longtime leader. Jackson implored attendees to stop the violence and keep hope alive. The Reverend Frederick Douglass Haynes, the pastor at Friendship West Baptist Church in Dallas, will take over as leader of the Rainbow Push Coalition. And a recent report from the nonprofit Bee Informed Partnership found beekeepers across the U.S. lost nearly half of the honeybees last year. That's a 10% increase in losses from the year before. Illinois Newsroom's Owen Henderson has more.
Rena Wilson-Jones is a nurse, but in her spare time, she and her husband care for about 60 hives around central Illinois. She says that while she keeps her hives in good shape, even she lost bees last year. According to the report, one of the main reasons hives fail is a pest called the varroa mite, which spreads diseases among bees. Wilson-Jones says there's no silver bullet for these mites, but beekeepers still have to take action.
You need to manage your mite issue, because if you don't, within probably 2 years, that hive will succumb to viruses. It'll just fail.
For backyard beekeepers, Wilson-Jones says many of these problems are manageable, but only if beekeepers stay vigilant. I'm Owen Henderson, Illinois Newsroom.
And black drivers in Illinois are nearly twice as likely as white motorists to be stopped by police. That's according to traffic stop data police departments annually report to the Illinois Department of Transportation per a 20-year-old state law. The data is meant to identify potential racial profiling and help craft strategies to prevent it. American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois staff attorney Joshua Levin says the data shows that traffic stops don't prevent violent crimes.
This is about ensuring that they are using effective tools and not relying on old practices that have disparate burdens on racial minorities.
Levin says law enforcement departments need to work directly with black and brown people to address the problem. For the first time ever, the U.S. Department of Agriculture gave two companies the green light last month to produce and sell their lab-grown chicken meat across the country. But as Excaret Nunez reports, it could still take years before people can buy cultivated meat at grocery stores.
Cultivated meat is expensive to make, and labs aren't able to produce the billions of pounds of meat Americans consume every year. So the recently approved companies, Upside Foods and Good Meat, only plan to serve the new food in exclusive restaurants. Upside Foods Chief Operating Officer Amy Chen says there's still a long road ahead to make the company's cultivated chicken products affordable and available.
As we launch, we will be at a premium, but over time, as we continue to scale, as we build out the supply chain and operate at larger scales, our costs will come down. And I think that will then allow more consumers to have access to products.
She says getting people familiarized with cultivated meat is another long-term goal. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Excaret Nunez.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. Still to come, we'll learn about the growing popularity of elderberries in the country. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The Doctor is back in the office as Martin Clunes returns to the title role of Doc Martin for season 9 of the hit series. New complaints around his approach to patient care threaten Martin's career as his wife navigates a new job in child counseling. The show's eclectic cast returns for more melodrama and hilarious hijinks in the small British village of Port Wen. As a friend of WILL, you can binge season 8 and season 9 right now with Passport. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Elderberries are native to the Midwest and have been part of food and medicine of indigenous people for centuries. but the commercial cultivation of the crop is relatively recent, and interest in the small purple fruit saw a big increase during the coronavirus pandemic. As Harvest Public Media's Jonathan Al reports, the niche crop is finding itself at the crossroads of trying to go big or stay small.
Elderberries are pea-sized, a little sweet, and a little tart. They're also antioxidants and have become popular as a nutritional supplement touted as a way to minimize cold and flu symptoms. Elderberry products are a $320 million a year business in the U.S. that had a 13% annual increase in recent years. Patrick Byers is a horticulturalist with the University of Missouri.
We've seen an explosive growth in the production, and we've seen an explosive growth in the development of markets for this crop.
Byers says while nutritional supplements are the biggest market for elderberries, in recent years they found more use in flavoring beer and wine, as a natural food coloring, and in jams and jellies. And that has meant an increase in elderberry farms.
One of the neatest things is when this whole field is flowering.
Alan Helland is walking through his farm in central Missouri.
And you harvest it or you're mowing it, and it smells, to me it smells like some sort of honey vanilla. It smells fantastic.
Helland planted rows of these now eye-high shrubs 4 years ago. In most ways, he's a typical elderberry farmer, so pretty small scale.
It's a portion of my farm income. 2.5 acres, a new planting, you know, would not come up to, it wouldn't come up to a living.
It's hard to pin down how much land in the U.S. is dedicated to elderberry farms, but Iowa and Illinois both have a couple hundred acres in commercial production. Missouri leads the country with 400 acres, much less than even one modest corn or soybean farm. Helland says elderberry farmers have to do something else in addition, either growing other crops and raising livestock, or being their own manufacturers and marketers.
If I was doing the secondary processing on all my own fruit here, then it very well might.
While no one is making a living just being an elderberry farmer, some say it's possible. Chris Patton is the president of the Midwest Elderberry Cooperative and works with more than 150 farmers across the region. He says with demand for elderberry products projected to grow by more than 30% by the end of the decade, now is the time for elderberries to go big.
And we have to be able to do large-scale commercialization so that we can meet the needs of the larger producers in the place of imports and meeting the high-quality standards.
Patton says just replacing half of the number of elderberries imported into the U.S. with American-grown crop would be huge. He sees elderberries having the potential to be as big as cranberries and end up in energy drinks, nutrition bars, and many other products. But not all elderberry advocates agree.
I mean, we think we need to be in drinks. We need to be in all these big outlets that people are pushing.
Heather Wilson is a sales and social media manager for River Hills Harvest, a Missouri-based company that makes elderberry products and gifts.
At the same time, that's going to drop our price. And again, you're going to have to farm 40 acres of elderberries to just make the same amount that you could make right now on 2 or 3 acres.
She says the fruit's future is probably stronger in very small-scale producers who do more than just grow the crop. Think you-pick farms and agrotourism. But for farmers like Alan Helland, having the option to either stay small or be part of something bigger might be the most promising way to develop elderberry markets and farms.
It stays something that can be profitable for somebody on a couple acres, you know, kind of your thing. But then, if it's organized correctly, I think there can also be the farmers who are doing, you know, 45 acres of it.
Regardless of size, elderberry farmers will soon be very busy. The berries have a short period where they can be harvested, a 2-week window in late July or early August. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Jonathan Aul.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy and hazy with a slight chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 80 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Owen Henderson, Tim Shelley, Excaret Nunez, and Jonathan Al. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.